Well, my dear friends, we are gathered here once again. And yes, we're all back. although the jet lag is pretty intense right now. Last night, I think I slept okay. The night before was about 4 hours. So my brain keeps telling me it's nighttime right now. but with that, guys, listen, same deal as every single week. We come here because we're weak. We come here because we're broken. We come here because we need, and we come to the one who can fill our needs and calm our souls and forgive our sins and give us strength and put us back on the path. And that is what this place is all about, and that is what our God is all about. So as we gather here today, let us remember the day that we were adopted into his family, made his child, and our sins were forgiven, and eternal salvation was made open to us. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this beautiful day that you have given us, this day that we get to begin in your presence, Lord, receiving from you and spending time with you, giving praise and thanksgiving to you for all that you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds this morning. Lord, help us as we come into contact with you, as we hear your word, as we sing your praise, as we speak to you and as you speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would move our hearts and our minds. Lord, help us to grow in faith so that we can love you and trust you more every day and to receive from you the comfort, Lord, the strength that we so desperately need. All this we pray in your holy name. Amen. And now let us confess our sins. Let us lay all those things at his feet so that we can rise relieved of them all. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that you, by your grace, we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, our sins have been forgiven. Even if the guilt remains, the emotion remains, the fact and reality is your sins are gone. God says, as far as the east is from the west, which, if you look at a globe, kind of seems like a long way away. So let us return praise and thanksgiving for the incredible mercy and grace that our God has shown us.
We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. praise. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. Because he hung up on that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. Because we were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Sing a new song.
sing a new song to the Lord. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. For the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever, amen. For the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever, amen. For the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever, amen. For the kingdom is yours, in heaven. Every heart will make mercy of the way, on earth as it is in heaven.
Good morning. My name is Steve Mangrum, one of the elders, the elder on duty today. First reading today is Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God, over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Scripture verse from today for today's message is Ezekiel 34, verses 11 to 24. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, "I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and they will feed a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep, and I have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for all the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between the rams and the goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on good pastures? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with the flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. All right, kids, now it's time for the children's message. Come on forward, and we got a special treat. Andrew Teuscher is going to be doing our message today.
Hello, friends. Good morning. Were you guys listening to the scripture reading we just had? They talked a lot about sheep, so I thought I would show you guys some of my sheep. All right? I got a lot of friends here. Well, I'll introduce you to all of them. This one is Fluffy. I'll put him right here. This one is Spot, because there's lots of spots on him. This one is George, because it's Curious George. This one is Sparkles. This one, oh, I know, you have your own friend there, too. This one's Moosey, and this one is my favorite, is Mr. Moo. Put him right here. So I've got my flock here, and I've got, let's see, my whole flock. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. When I just walked from back there, I had more than six. I think I lost one. Quick, look around, guys. What? Where? Behind me? This way? Behind you? Oh, behind me, yes. Oh, we lost Steve. Steve. Guys, I was so worried. Steve, you can tell he's really little. He got so scared back there. I was so worried. And guys, if you guys listen to the scripture reading, that's exactly what God feels whenever we get lost. See, God views us as just like his sheep, just like Steve here. And when any of us get a little bit lost or get a little bit far away from him, he panics just like I did. God cares that much about you. God cares as much about you as I do Steve. And that's awesome. So can you guys pray with me and thank God for caring about us so much and looking for us? Fold your hands and repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for caring about me. Enough to go looking for me when I am lost. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
All right, so if you have your parents' permission, you're age 4 through 4th grade, you can go follow the cross there to little worship, and we will bring them back, we assure you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you, for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Hope can be a difficult thing, can it not? Hope in times of trial, hopes in times of persecution, hope in times of what's going on in the world. And it's no easier looking at this in the full context that Peter is talking about, with regard to where it is that a person would have hope in the midst of this, where he says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. He says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect. In light of recent events, I wanted to frame our sermon with that, because that truth that Christians are to be a people of hope in the midst of circumstances that anyone would very quickly jettison any hope they might have is both true, I think, for the times that we're in, as well as for the rest of where I'd like to go with our message today. Because you have it where Jesus is there, hanging out with a bunch of tax collectors and sinners. And whatever it is that people might have thought who the Messiah would be when he come and what exactly he would do, there are many who didn't think this is what Jesus would do. At least the picture as I see it of the Pharisees, the people who tried really hard to keep God's law and even the ceremonial laws that man had set up, all reflecting in essence, so they thought, the spirit of God's law. My guess is maybe they thought, well, when the Messiah comes, he will come look at us and say, you guys have done awesome, keep it up. And you people who've done nothing that God has instructed in his law, shame on you, turn back. Yet you have it here where now tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to hear Jesus. And so the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So Jesus tells them a parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if you had lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country? Again, that's an odd setup. Surely you would do this, right? And yet, while I've never been a shepherd, I can only imagine if I had 100 sheep, whether they belonged to me or they belonged to somebody else, if one was lost, I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 56, 57, 58, 97, 98, 99. Yeah, no, I counted you. Okay, come back. I think I lost one. No one would say, okay, you sheep, I have to go find Bahram you. He has long gone. Stay here in the open country. Don't wander off. Don't worry. None of the wolves are going to get you. No one's going to take you. Just stay here in the open country, okay? Stay. It wouldn't happen. No, Jesus is not actually setting up this parable with something that reflects reality, and that's intentional. But he says, regardless, you know, which of you does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found this dirty, most likely, covered in mud sheep, probably has some brambles in him, who knows what this sheep has gotten into, doesn't take this sheep and put it not too far from his nose, and carry it all the way back to where that sheep belongs, rejoicing all the way. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. In other words, while Jesus tees it up like, well, of course you would do this, right? To something that no one would ever do. That's not the point. All the more so, really, it's all to be communicated as a reflection of the heart of God. Because God cares deeply about those who are a part of his fold but have wandered away. God cares deeply for those whom he loves. And you see this as well then with the text from Ezekiel. See, it's the case where king after king after king after king didn't care about God and his ways, didn't care to instruct the people that were under their charge to follow God's ways, didn't actually even care about the people, but said, you know, we can tax these people and do whatever we want to. I'm the king. That sounds great. And so Ezekiel, the prophet, was raised up to tell the shepherds of Israel, the kings of Israel, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up. Those who have strayed away you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled over these sheep. And so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and over every high hill. My sheep are scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search for them or to seek them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep became food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds had fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against those shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search out my sheep, and I will seek them. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples, from the nations who have turned them away from me, and gather them from the countries. I will bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy, but I will feed them injustice. And so all of this, we get a picture of who God is and what matters to him. Because God sees what has transpired. In the days of old, he saw how it was that those who had been entrusted with what belonged to him, how they merely used it and squandered it and didn't really care for God's people. And God says, this is an outrage to me. How dare you do this? I will find those who are lost and I will bring them back and I will bind up the wounded. Because God loves people. Even those who are lost and have strayed, even those who have wandered their own way. And so Jesus himself is saying to these Pharisees, there is much rejoicing when one sinner repents than over 99 people who were pretty convinced that they were righteous and had no need of repentance. Jesus is saying here, look, I am the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34 because God himself has taken on flesh, walked among his people, and he himself has called back those who are lost. Now, all of this I said was framed under the perspective that a Christian at all times should have a hope that surpasses all understanding. Because I imagine many, if not all of you, know a lost sheep or two. Know someone that you love who has wandered away from the fold, who has strayed away. And the question might come to you and say, does God even care about them? Is God actually doing anything on their behalf? And I want to assure you and say, yes, because that's who God is. He's a God who doesn't just say, well, I'm going to cut my losses and go with these 99 that are here. Who knows if I'll ever find that one and bring him back. No, he is the one who says, I will go out into the midst of the darkness and the despair and the dirt and the grime and all of that, and I will find that which is lost, and I will take them and I will put them on my shoulders and take them back home where they belong, ever pursuing. And even in the midst of this, then, we are to be a people of hope. As difficult as it can be at times to have hope when we know people who are lost. And we might get frustrated at times because God's timing and his ways are not our timing. Because trusting that God loves these people too, we might say, okay, God, then just do it. Grab them and yank them and bring them back. What are you waiting for? And this as well can be a challenge to the hope that we have. The hope that God will act and does act. And my encouragement to you in those times is really an encouragement of Jesus to his disciples. It says, Jesus told his disciples a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice, just so that she will not beat me down with her continual coming. And Jesus says to his disciples, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God, who loves you, who loves his lost sheep, will not God, who is not like an unjust judge, but rather is a just judge, will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? And so my point is that just as Jesus shared with his disciples, you are to pray and not lose hope. Keep praying in earnest. Because the reality is that the source of your hope is not you. The source of the hope is not the person who is lost. The source of your hope is not anything other than your Heavenly Father. And your Heavenly Father loves the lost sheep. Your hope is placed in the one who has all power and authority, the one who created everything by his words, the one who took the punishment that all of us deserve upon himself. This is who your hope is in. If Jesus can conquer death as he has done, what can he not do? So do not lose hope. Whether it be for the lost sheep that you know, pray fervently and earnestly that God would bring them back. Do not lose hope in your day-to-day that God is with you. Do not lose hope in all circumstances, but rather daily turn to God and say, God, even though when I look out I see darkness and despair, grant me the hope that comes only from you, a hope that surpasses all understanding. Help me, Lord, even in this. Amen.
I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it, still you self away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah. Your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no words, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so
Good Shepherd, The one who loves us even though we don't deserve it. The one that chases us and finds us and overcomes all kinds of obstacles that stand between him and us to restore us to into a relationship with him. One of the obstacles that he overcame was our ignorance, our not even knowing who he was. And he loved us so much that he reveals himself to us. And now we have an opportunity to confess the faith, the story that he's told us, what he has taught us about his feelings toward us and what he has done for us. We get to confess that together back to him, sharing our faith with each other before God. So please stand as we confess our faith. And to do so, we're going to be using the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. This God has also revealed to us that he is eagerly waiting and anticipating our prayers. He even gives us the command to pray, sort of like when your parents tell you eat your vegetables. It's a loving command, a command given for our benefit. So let us now come before our God in prayer. And as we do, there's a few people we need to really be keeping, or a few families we got to be keeping in mind. While I've been gone, lots has happened. Betty McMullen has gone to be with her Lord and Savior, as well as Edna Mertz and Fred Meissner, one of our members here. He lost his father on Wednesday. And so we want to be praying for these families as they struggle with the grief of the loss. Because we are a family, this is kind of important to understand. It is not poking into somebody else's business to talk to them and to support them. We're family. It is our business. This is what we do. We love and we care for the people around us. We pray for them and we comfort them with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. And so I encourage you to share that comfort as well. Let's pray, my friends. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today and we thank you so much that you are our shepherd. You are the one who has tended us, who has given us comfort, Lord, in all of the situations of life, that you have guided us to good pastures. You have brought us to the water we need, the food we need. You care for all of our needs of body and soul. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to live in the comfort of knowing that we have a God who has gone before us, who cares for us and has tended us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live in the peace and the comfort and the relief, Lord, of knowing that we are not alone in this world, Lord, but that we belong to you and you care for us. Lord, I pray that you would be with those who are struggling grief and loss today, Lord. Lord, especially we pray for the family of Betty McMullen, Edna Mertz, and Vernon Meissner, Lord, as they have been given a great gift in these people, and that this gift has now been taken away, Lord, and that those people are now before you in heaven. It's not a loss to them, but it is a loss to us. And we will miss them, Lord, and we pray that you would comfort our brothers and sisters, that you would be their peace during this time of difficulty, and that you would use us, Lord, to speak your relief, your peace into their lives. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the families that you have given us. Thank you for these little children, Lord. We pray that you would give us opportunity to share our faith with them, Lord, so that they also can have the peace that we have, that they can have the comfort of knowing their Savior just like we do. Thank you, Jesus, for all your many mercies, for all your care. And we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. There's one other person we need to pray for this morning as well. Shirley Bocek fell this week and is recovering from that fall. So let's pray for her as well. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you and we pray for our sister Shirley, Lord, as she is recovering physically from a fall. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to help her to mend, Lord. Help her to recover so that she can return to the life that you have given her, Lord, and carry out the function, all the tasks, Lord, that you put before her. Lord, we pray, we know that you love her even more than we do, and that you are her shepherd and will guide her, Lord, forward. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
You have made me new, now life begins with Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoices, oh heaven at last. But then Jesus arose with all freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested in my
hearts give the fruit of pure lives. So
My dear friends, our God has shown up again. Our shepherd has fed us. This meal is spiritual food. The world makes us weak. The world wears us down. Our sins burden us. And it's difficult to get back up and go out into the world and do his work. And so our shepherd feeds us. He gives us what we need so that we can get up and go back out there again. And so as we have received the forgiveness of sins once again in this meal, and as we have received from him strength to go out and live a Christian life, depart in peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing, because not only does he give us strength, but our shepherd goes with us. You're not walking out into that world alone to serve him. He's walking with you, giving you everything you need every moment of every day. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Please stand as we sing the final hymn together.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope. We seek
Please be seated. This is kind of an interesting note. These announcements were obviously put together a few days ago. Edna Mertz was going to have her 104th birthday tomorrow. She'll be celebrating in a better place. All right. But what an incredible gift that God gave us. Her for 104 years, that's an amazing thing. Joyful Shirts, the school theme. We sell these t-shirts for the congregation so that you can be remembering and praying for all our little people in the school. The last day to order those is today. I'm assuming there's sign-up sheets someplace out there. I don't know. I've been gone a couple weeks. You got to give me a break. Women's Bible study, the Monday night Women's Bible study Undistracted series has moved from September 22nd to September 29th. I hope that makes sense to you. I read it. All right. And the last thing is we have a video promoting the Sacred Marriage Bible study that begins next week. So can you play that, Jason? It's always important to be involved in Bible study. We need it. We need to drink deeply from God's word as we get through life because we need that encouragement. We need his wisdom. He wouldn't have taken all the time to write it down if it wasn't important. And so in addition to the general need to be in God's word, I do encourage you folks to consider deeply the marriage Bible study starting next week. Yes, ma'am. Ed Ployer. Oh, really? See, I've been out of town. Ed Ployer, one of our dear members here, is having heart surgery. It's been one of those things. It's been a dramatic thing because he had a heart attack, and then he went to the hospital, had another heart attack. Then they scheduled surgery to do bypasses, and then he had problems with his kidney, which put off that surgery. And so we're hoping that finally tomorrow the surgery is going to happen. So let's pray for Ed right now. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for our brother Ed, Lord, we know you love him more than we do, and we say that so often, but it's so true, and we need to remember it in all these circumstances, Lord. We know that you already want what's best for him, that you love him, that you are there for him, that you are his shepherd, just like you're our shepherd, Lord. I pray that you would be with him tomorrow, Lord. Bless the surgeons. Help the surgery finally happen, Lord, so that he can get back to his life, Lord. I pray that you would help him recover quickly, and please be with his wife and his kids as they are, go through this challenging time as well. Thank you, Lord, for your incredible love. In your name we pray. Amen. Very good. Anything else? Speak now or forever hold your peace. All right, with that, my friends, God's blessings on your day. It has been a wonderful time worshiping with you this morning. I will be in the back. I have no idea what you're going to get out of me anymore. I'm starting to crash.